Returning again tonight to this 22nd chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22. And we're reading from verse 1 to verse 18. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will prepare himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And God will stamp with his own divine approval this reading from his own divine revelation in his precious book. Let's pray. Father, for thy word, we give thee thanks. And we give thee thanks for the grace that thou didst give to Father Abraham. He withheld not his only son Isaac from thee. And we thank thee that in him we have a beautiful type of thee, O Heavenly Father. For thou didst not withhold thy son from shame and death and darkness. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, 'twas there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. We thank thee for that word from heaven, when thou didst say, withhold thy hand, lay that hand not upon Isaac. But we remember that when thou didst take up the knife, Father, there was no voice could say, don't kill thy son. For except thou didst offer him for that awful sacrifice upon the cross, we would have been damned in hell forevermore. Lord, we give thee thanks that thou didst give thy son for us. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Bless us now as we turn to thy word. Open our hearts and our minds to receive it. Open up our energies to obey it. And grant, O God, this night we shall meet at the cross. We'll join hands around Calvary. And we'll join hands, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, with thee thyself. To this end I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen, amen. Open your Bible once again at this 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. Tonight I want to dwell on the subject of faith, because this chapter gives us 12 great acts of faith. 12 in Scripture is the number of completion. There's 12 months to make up 1 year. It completes the year, the 12 months. There were 12 apostles to complete the apostolic band. 12s are all through the Word of God. Start in Genesis 1 and find every 12th that's there, and you'll find that they all demonstrate finality, completion, the work done, the commandments obeyed, and God's blessing obtained. Now, this portion of Scripture can only be interpreted by the New Testament, because this is a typical Scripture, and the types of the Old Testament are made plain in their fulfillment in the New Testament. If you would turn over to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you'll find some things about faith in the first two verses. You'll find that faith is the substance of things hoped for. To us, in our definition of faith, faith is something that is intangible. Faith is something that we personally cannot see. The only person that ever saw faith in the Bible, who was he? The Lord Jesus. He said when he saw their faith. You can't see faith, but God can see faith. Happy are you tonight if God looks into your heart and sees your faith. The Lord Jesus weighed the faith that he saw. He said of some people, "O ye of little faith." O ye of little faith. He said of one man, he had never seen such faith, no, not in Israel. Much faith. So, God seeing faith is very important. We need to have the faith of God. Now, it is substantial to God, intangible to us. Then, secondly, it is evidence of something that no human eye can see. But it is that evidence. God sees it. We don't see it. It comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. No wonder the disciples prayed, "Lord, increase our faith." May we all pray that prayer tonight and mean it. An increase of faith. And then you will notice, it's not an 11-plus student that gets faith. It's the elders that get the faith. Please note, for by it the elders obtained a good report. This development of faith is a development that comes as we develop as Christians. As our prayers grow stronger, our faith gets stronger. As our service for Christ grows stronger, our faith is stronger. Everything depends upon our development as children of God. Now, there are some children of God that are just babies. They whine a lot. I know a lot of Christians, and they're always whining. They've never got their nappies changed, and they're always crying, and they're always awkward. What are they? They're only babes. And some of them don't like to hear good, meaty sermons. They would like more a fairy tale sort of sermon, something you would tell a little child. And so they want milk. They want milk. The Lord tells us in His book that you have to give up milk drinking and you have to desire the meat of the Word. Why are Christians weak? Because they are milk suckers rather than meat eaters. That's why. And it tells on their Christian life. So the all important thing is to have faith. And by it, the elders got a good report from school. They got a good report. Christ has a school. It's called the School of Christ. He issues reports in that school. Where do you stand in the report from the School of Christ? Those are questions you need to ask yourself solemnly, and you need to face up to their implication. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen as yet. Now, if you look with me at this 22nd chapter, you will find it says, and it came to pass after these things. What things? The previous verse, 34 of chapter 21. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. He wasn't with friends. He was with enemies. He wasn't with the circumcised. He was with the uncircumcised. He was living in Philistine country because there was a famine in the land. So here we have Abraham in the place of the Philistines. But God looked down from heaven, and the time for the testing of Abraham came. That word translated into the word tempt in our authorized version, that God did tempt Abraham, is God did test Abraham. God doesn't tempt anybody to sin, and you'll find that written clearly in the New Testament scriptures. But God does test us. And God said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Here, behold, here am I. That shows something that God gave Abraham the jerk of faith. You know, if you read the scriptures, you'll find that the Lord had to interfere and give people jerks. He needed to stop them and to challenge them and to lay the burden of His commandments upon them. Here we have Abraham and the jerk of faith. He's brought to a standstill in the country of the Philistines. Suddenly, God speaks from heaven. And Abraham answers him. The jerk brought Abraham to his senses. He said, "Behold, here I am." When God speaks, is there a ready response from your heart to the Lord? Or do you not want to hear Him? There are some believers, and they don't want to be heard. I've talked to believers about certain things in their lives, and said, "I don't want to hear about it." There should be nothing, believer, that you're afraid of if you're walking with God in the light of His Word. You'll be afraid of it if you're walking in darkness and the sun has gone down and you're in the night season. But if you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds in your way. When you do His good will, He abides with you still and with all who will trust and obey. So here we have the response. Please notice carefully that in this first call, God only called Abraham once. You will notice in verse 11, the angel of the Lord called him twice. Abraham, Abraham. Why? The first time he was on a test call. He was only called once. When God's testing His people, He only calls them once. But when God's blessing His people, there's a double call. And there's a double call as we go down the chapter. Please note it carefully. And what did God say? We have here the journey of faith. He gets the jerk of faith. He's waking up. He's not going to sleep. He's challenged. I don't know how Abraham felt that day when God spoke to him and said this. Do you see your son that you waited until you were 100 years old until you had him? He's really your only son. And I know you love him. But you have to get out of this land of the Philistines. There's never real blessing when you're dwelling in Philistine country. You're always with a drawn sword and you're always protecting yourself against the enemy. But he says you have to leave that country and you have to get to the land of Moriah. As I have pointed out before, this is Calvary. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Well, if Abraham was jerked in verse 1, he was doubly jerked in verse 2. That the babe that he had prayed for, the son of his old age, God was ordering him to take him to the mountain and to offer him as a burnt. And he wasn't to wait until tomorrow or next week or next month till Isaac was older. He was to do it when? Look at the verse. Take now. It was clearly that Abraham was waking from his sleep, because it says that he had to rise up. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get away to another place. to the Mount Moriah. I'm not going to tell you where on the Mount Moriah. You've got to get there first, and then I will show you. I will show you. I will tell thee of one of the mountains, and that's where you have to offer your son. So we have the journey of faith. Then when we come to verse 3, we have the job of faith. He had a job to do right away. What was that job? That job was to rise up early in the morning, to get out of his bed, to get ready for a long journey which lasted for 3 days. Traveling for 3 days. That's the first thing, part of the job. Away from the country of the Philistines. And you have to saddle your ass, and you're to get two of your young men to accompany you. And of course you must take Isaac with you, for he has to be slain on that mountain. And you have to bring the wood of the burnt offering, and you have to come now, and I will show you where the place is. There was his task. He was to rise up early. He was to saddle his ass. He was to take two young men. He was to take Isaac. He was to cleave the root wood. He was to rise up. And he was journey. Seven things for the will of God is always perfection. And seven in the Bible is perfection. You will notice that two of these things are similar. He was to rise up, it says, early. And then it tells us he rose up after he had done the job of cleaving the wood. He rose up and went on to the place which God had told him. The jerk of faith. The journey of faith. The job of faith. You'll never be out of a job if you're working and serving the Lord. He's a job for every one of us, which we must do. And this was the job appointed for Abraham to do. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He saw the place afar off. There are some Christians, and the cross to them is in a place afar off. Oh, they've visited the cross and they've been saved, but they're far away from it. It's afar off. How near is the cross to you now as you sit in this prayer meeting? How close are you to the wounds of Jesus? How close are you to his thorn-crowned brow and pierced hands and side and face and feet? What does it say? It says he saw the place afar off. But as we go down this chapter, he saw the place face to face. The distance between you and God will diminish when you start obeying God. You'll get closer to God when you walk the path of obedience. If you're walking the path of disobedience, you'll be walking away from God. But if you're walking the path of obedience, you'll be walking to God. So we have here the job of faith. And then we come in verse 4 and 5 to the joy of faith. He had seen the place. Although it was afar off, there was joy in his heart. Here was the place where the great testing would take place. And notice what it says in verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. You're not coming. You're not coming. And there are things that we have got to leave when we start to approach God in prayer. There are things to be left behind. If you're going to kneel down and you're going to have a head filled with worries and fears and unbelief, you'll never talk to God right. Those things have got to be left behind. We need to say to them, stay thou here. Abide. The word abide means be at home. So put these things to rest at home. When you come to worship God, he says, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Here is the joy of faith. Because Isaac was going to die. How were they going to return? If Isaac is slain and he's made a burnt sacrifice and his body is burned and all that's left on the altar are burning bones, how is he going to return? Faith gave Abraham the answer. And if you go back with me now to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you'll read something there. Verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. There sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Look at verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. When he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Why? Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham believed that he offered Isaac, and the fire burned Isaac, there would have been a resurrection. And the burned son would have returned fresh from the fire down the mountainside with his father. That was the faith of Abraham. The joy of faith. Oh, what a joy faith starts in our heart. Read about the triumphs of faith in the Bible. By faith, not by cleverness, not by the assistance of the world, the flesh, or the devil, but by faith. And here was a man, and he was going up the hill, and as he went up the hill, he thought of the wonder of it, that God was going to do the greatest of all miracles. And the young son that walked beside him would walk beside him as he was coming down the mountain again. And so we have here this wonderful faith which Abraham displayed to the two men. And he said to these two servants, he says, I'm going up the mountain. You abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. But please notice, fifthly, the joining of faith. If you look with me at verse 6, it says they went both of them together. Faith made them as one. If you look at verse 8, you will read there again, so they went both of them together. If you come down the chapter to verse 19, so Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together. Nothing can destroy those united to God by faith. It's an unbreakable chain. Not a devil in hell, not a power of darkness. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Principalities? No. Powers? No. Might? No. Dominion? No. You're on victory soil. You can't be chained if you're chained to Christ. That's the message. That's what faith does. It chains us to Christ, and His faith becomes our faith. His power becomes our power. His spirit becomes our spirit. Linked on to Christ the Conqueror. You triumph gloriously. What a thing this is, this faith. And what a thing it is to be joined to the Lord. My time has gone, and I'm only at 5, and there's 12 of them. You know, my friend, this book is full of good things. Oh, that God would give us an appetite for His book. So many Christians have no appetite for the Word of God. Oh, they read it, and they think that God should salute them because they'll read a chapter a day. My friend, if you start reading the Bible, you will want to read it more and more. Not by chapters, but you'll want to read it word by word. For every word has a preciousness, and every word comes with the heat and the saliva of God upon it, fresh from the heart of God. May God give us an eye to see and an ear to hear and a heart to believe the blessed, holy Word of God. We leave there that and come back to it again, because as I said, there's 32 things in that chapter. Many of you found yet that you should take knowledge of? May God give us an eye to see and behold the mysteries of the Word.